In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. كل سنة وانتم طيبين بمناسبة صوم العذراء وأعياد العذراء. May God make all your days happy and peaceful with the prayer and intercession of our beloved Mother Saint Mary. As I heard from Abuna Inan about the theme of the revival week here in Houston, it addresses all the beatitudes that was mentioned in the Gospel of Saint Matthew in chapter 5. And Abuna, out of his love, choose for me, blessed are those who mourn. اختار لي يعني الحزن. But actually, I was so happy to start preparing something about this specific beatitude, especially also Abuna Samuel in Dallas copied the same theme, and also he assigned to me, blessed are those who mourn. So I don't know what's the case of our priests with me this year. But anyway, actually I have to admit that both of them made me happy when I read something about the holy mourning, that Christ blessed and mentioned it by his blessed mouth when he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. First, we need to understand that mourning or sadness or grieving is a feeling that belongs to humans. And if we want to address it, which kind of feeling, good or bad, definitely our answer will come, it's a bad feeling. Nobody likes to go through a feeling of mourning or grief of heart. Actually, in our prayers, the conclusion of every prayer we say, deliver us from evil grief and distress of heart. So how come Lord Jesus here is blessing or giving a special blessing to those who mourn? What kind of mourning that Lord Jesus here is blessing, and in what direction he wants us to think or to consider it something blessed? Maybe to understand, we have to read first a little passage from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. In chapter 7, on the second epistle of St. Paul to Corinthians, as you know, St. Paul wrote two epistles to the city of Corinth and the church of Corinth. The first one, he was addressing some issues and problems that the church went through. One of them was a major one, which is a case of adultery that happened there, and how St. Paul judged the person who did this, and not even him, but actually he was not happy that some of the church members encouraged or accepted him. So in his first epistle, he kind of mentioned to them some harsh words for their own benefit. So he came in the second epistle and he addressed to them how this or these words that he mentioned, you know, they got the good fruit for all of them. So we read from chapter 7, starting from verse 8. He says, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. And sorry here is the translation for the word, or the Arabic word, رسالة أحزنتكم, أو أحزنتكم بالرسالة, made you sorry, translated into mourning or feeling sad. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner. You were made sorry in a godly manner. قال كده ترجمة لأنكم حزنتم بحسب مشيئة الله. Made sorry in a godly manner. that you might suffer loss from, you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. ولكن حزن العالم ينشئ موتا. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, in all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Of course, here he was pointing to the issue of judging the case of adultery there. But we notice here that Saint Paul pointed very clearly to a word which is sorrow in a godly manner, feeling sorrow in this godly manner. And this definitely what Lord Jesus pointed to or blessed when he said the beatitudes about blessed those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And also Saint Paul in this passage mentioned that there is also another kind of sorrow or grieving that's according to the world. So we need to understand some differences between the godly sorrow and the worldly sorrow. I will give few examples of how feeling of sorrow can be a godly thing. First, as we see from the Epistle of St. Paul, that this sorrow was for repentance, which means somebody feels this kind of sorrow or mourning in his heart because of a sin. And this is what Lord Jesus blessing here. When a person starts to realize and to understand that sin brings sorrow to the man from the very beginning of creation, when Adam and Eve committed the sin, when they transgressed the will of God and His command, they were not happy anymore. Sorrow and all the pangs of death were introduced to them. How? By sin. And this is why any person, when he starts feeling that he has a sin in his life, dwells in his heart, he starts feeling the sorrow. And again, as St. Paul mentioned, this sorrow leads to repentance. This kind of feeling will push you to fix and to correct what you have done. And actually, a major drive to our repentance is this kind of feeling. Look to some people, why they are not repenting? Because they lack this feeling. They don't feel any kind of guilt, any kind of sorrow in their hearts. Actually, sometimes people are happy with what they do, but unfortunately they don't see what's going to happen if they kept going on and on doing the sin. So this holy sorrow or this holy mourning can come in junction or in accompanying with the repentance. Also, another kind of holy sorrow, we can see it clearly with the people who serve God and even other people. When they see somebody is going astray from the ways of God, when somebody is being lost from the assembly or the fellowship of the church. Maybe again, another good example for this, we see it also with St. Paul, one of the fervent servants that we can learn a lot from him. He was talking in his epistle to the Romans. He was addressing again the issue of how the Jews rejected the faith in Christ. We hear him saying a very important word to his nation since he's originally a Jew. He says in Romans chapter 9, I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Of course, he says here about how they are, by their stubbornness of heart, how they rejected Christ. So he's even wishing that, you know, imagining something like this, it's okay, even me myself, to be away from Christ, but not to see my brethren, my countrymen, you know, are going away. This is the real heart of a servant. You see how St. Paul here describe this great sorrow and continual grief in his heart about or regarding the people who are lost. Again, this kind of sorrow or grief feeling is very, very blessed feeling. And it's another major drive to any servant if he starts being aware and being in great pain or suffering if he feels somebody is being lost. Unfortunately, one of the major diseases of our service today is this, what we call the careless attitude. Many people, they serve in the church, but they don't serve with this kind of 100% commitment to the service. They come as doing a job. There is a duty, they have to finish it. But you are not working in a company. So you're just waiting for your salary to be paid. No, you are working with God. And you are not dealing with materials. You are not dealing with wood or gold. No, you are dealing with something more precious, with souls. Those souls are very valuable. Those souls are precious in their price. God paid a great price, which is his blood, whom he accepts to shed for all of us. So when we see some of the servant is kind of grieving, we know that this servant is a real servant of God. You remember when Lord Jesus made the comparison between the good shepherd and the hireling, he mentioned how the good shepherd is ready to sacrifice even his life for the sake of his sheep or his flock. But the hireling cannot do this. When he sees the wolf coming, he shall flee. He will not care. But the real servant, the real worker with God, will care. And this may be a good sign for you in your service in the church, to see if you really care about those who are away. If you really care about some people whom you know that they don't come to church, or they are already gone in far away from Christ, or you just feel happy that you do whatever you know you assign to do and that's it, and you feel you are not responsible. St. Paul here telling us how to fulfill the command of the second mile, which is even myself, to be accursed of Christ for the sake of my brethren. I'm amazed that sometimes, you know, we grieve the heart of the servant of God when we are not reacting or complying with their advice to us to get us back. Sometimes, you know, a Sunday school teacher or a priest or a bishop or whoever will come visit me or call me or tell me about, you know, the need to change, but sometimes we reject and we cause them to feel this grief, although we should rejoice in their hearts, again, as the Bible commands us. But very important for all the servants to examine their service based upon having this feeling or not. If they do care about the people, then they are going in the right direction. If they don't care and they just want to finish whatever they are assigned to do, then they are not shepherds, but they are hirelings. Another kind of the holy sorrow, we see it also, you know, when we are sorrowful for seeing divisions or disappearing of love among our families, our churches, any environment we live in. Sometimes this feeling is good, is not bad, when you see something wrong happening and you feel sorrow for this. Here it will be a good motive for you to work hard to get back the unity of this family or the unity of these people in the church or this group in service. But we can see some people, you know, developing this kind of feeling when they see sin or division prevailing among people. So again, it's a holy kind of sorrow when you experience it. It means the Spirit of God is moving you to finish or to end this kind of division or lack of love among people around you. Another kind of sorrow we can experience, which is the sorrow of persecutions and tribulations. Definitely, when we go through any kind of tribulations, we'll feel the pain and the sufferings. But again, this kind of feeling, Christ mentioned that it's okay to experience it. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we cannot avoid the feeling of sorrow in case we live as real and true Christian in the world. We have to understand that this will happen no matter what we try to avoid. But on the same time, we still remember the very encouraging words of Lord Jesus to all of us about how, you know, he will be changing this kind of sorrow, you know, by his appearing. We read in John, Gospel of John chapter 16, what Lord Jesus mentioned about this kind of sorrow or pain. In Gospel of John chapter 16, starting from verse 20, Lord Jesus says here, "Most assuredly I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." This is a very clear description of this kind of sorrow that we face during tribulations or persecutions. But as we heard clearly, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. It is very important to understand how to deal with this kind of sorrow, especially sorrow of tribulation. This may be one of the most annoying experiences to us in life, that we feel we are not sorrowful because of we are serving God or because we are good people, but this kind of tribulation or bad circumstances in life around me, it's unavoidable. What can I do? I can't be happy while I am facing all these troubles in my life. The problem that we forget these words that Lord Jesus mentioned, I want you to focus a little bit about his words. Lord Jesus says here a good analogy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. The first point here, we should trust the word of Lord Jesus that we will no more remember the anguish. Unfortunately, when we go through any problem or any trouble in life, we imagine that this will last forever. It will be printed deeply in our minds and our memories. Don't worry about that. How come? This is the promise of God. He will let you forget the anguish or the pain or the suffering. How? Because he said, I will see you again. God will come to your life, especially during the time of tribulation or trouble. And this is how, as he said, your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take from you. Many of us thinks at the time of problems that this will be deeply wounding our hearts and our emotions. And actually, this turns into being a factor of why you are not forgiving to others who caused these troubles to us. But believe me, if you trust the word of Christ, that he will see you and he will shine in your life, especially during the time of trouble, you will no longer remember the anguish. It is amazing, you know, when you look to a child, you can realize how this mechanism will work. See a child when he's crying and you just come near to him and give him something nice, any toy he likes, any candy, you see him immediately stop crying, and he is not into these bad memories of his cry anymore. Actually, he starts looking with bright eyes to this toy or to this piece of candy. He starts being consumed completely with this great thing he has in his hand. The same will happen. Yes, could be the tribulation is too big. But once Christ is in your life and he starts, you know, comforting your heart, you will no longer remember this anguish. You will see that something good happened in your life. And this is why you will not remember it. And we need to exercise this kind of spiritual exercise in our life. Try to forget the anguish. How? By just ignoring? No. By having Christ in your life. This is why he said, I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. The only way that will help you in this process of forgetting for all the people who hurted you in a time is to have Christ, to see him clearly in your life. It's nice to try to experience the presence of God, especially during the time of trouble. Maybe those people who are causing this kind of anguish or pain to you, you pray for them and you ask Christ to bless them. As he mentioned, pray for those who persecute you. This will be a good way that you're going to see Christ in your life. And as he mentioned, your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take from you. So try to experience this kind of compensation that you will receive, especially during the time of trouble. So basically, we said about the holy sorrow is the sorrow for repentance, sorrow of the servants for the lost souls, sorrow for seeing divisions and lack of love prevailing, sorrow of persecutions and troubles. So the other question, what is this kind that St. Paul mentioned, the sorrow according to the world or the worldly sorrow? It's a lot, but it takes a lot of varieties, but we can get all of these kinds of sorrow, the worldly sorrow, into one major reason, which is, we can summarize it in one word, loss. Loss. Usually, we start developing this kind of feeling of worldly sorrow when we lose something. Think about it. Many people, they will feel sorry or sorrowful when they lose a beloved person. We all see how, in case of a departure of a beloved one, how all the family and people around him are sorrowful and crying. Also, we can see it clearly among the younger age people when they lose their partner in a relation, like when they date. And you know, mostly that happens in the teenagers, and they broke up this relationship. You feel, or you can see how the boy or the girl comes to feel sorrow, and maybe, you know, he will take it or she will take it far into depression or whatever of things that will happen as consequences. So he or she develops this kind of sorrow because of losing a person or a relationship. Also, losing money. One of the major reasons for the worldly sorrow. I remember one time I was watching the news, and it was a bad day in Wall Street, and they got to get some, you know, poses for people who are watching the screens about the ups and downs of the currency, and how, you know, all the market share for companies, how it goes up and down. And I remember, you know, you catch some pictures for people who are, you know, in a position where you can tell they are losing, and it shows how those people put all their treasures, all their hearts, where their treasure is. It's money. This is why when they saw the companies, they had all of their stocks there, went down, it was unbelievable to them. They can't take it. I remember back in Egypt, we had one of our Sunday school servants. Maybe you know him. He came here, visited Houston a few years ago, Dr. Bahgat Sam'an. He was a psychiatrist. And I remember he mentioned one day to us, we had our Sunday school, and he came and he told us a story about one of the big names in the market of merchandise of vegetables and fruits. I think those who lived in Egypt, they know it very well, منطقة سوق رود الفرج, how they trade the vegetables and fruits. And this man, he was a big name there, and he put all his money in one of these trades, and he had plans that he will multiply his money maybe 5 or 6 times. And he put all his money, which was big number at that time, maybe 20 or 25 years ago. And all of a sudden, you know, he lost all his money. And he mentioned that I knew this guy because he came to us in the mental hospital suffering from a psychotic disease. He couldn't take the shock of losing his money. His mind couldn't comprehend it or accommodate it. This big loss in his life made him disturbed up to a point where he lost his mind. He couldn't take it. I really, now I understand how Job is a righteous person, how we call him the Job the righteous. Because when he lost everything in his life, he was so faithful, so strong to say, God has given and God has taken it back. Let the name of the Lord be blessed forever. He realized the value of the things he possessed. And he realized also the source of all his goodness in life. And he realized that this world will go in vanity. This is why, although he had a lot, and although he lost everything, still he kept his faith still there. And this is why, you know, this kind of worldly sorrow could not invade his heart or change his mind. He kept his faithfulness toward God and blessed the name of the God, although the loss he suffered was a very big loss. I don't think any of us could take it today the same way Job handled it. But I am sure that God allowed him to be an example for all of us to learn how to deal with this kind of losses when we experience it. Also, of course, we can enumerate a lot of this worldly loss, this worldly sorrow, through any kind of loss. People will feel sorrow when they lose their promotion in at work, or when they lose their dignity, you know, in any kind of family conflict or problem. Many people, they develop this sad heart for a lot of reasons. And the amazing thing actually that we see today, that people feel very sad and very sorrowful from trivial things, minor things, but it is too big for them. The good example for this in the Bible is Jonah the prophet, when he was very upset when God allowed this tree to grow up and to die in one night. And he was so angry and so upset for something which is, you know, if you consider it or you evaluate it, you can say, you know, very fairly, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal to sit on a shade or in the summer in the sun while it's hot. It's okay. It's easy matter. It can be handled easily. But you see, Jonah, at that time, his heart was not ready. And this is why he felt very upset and very angry. And because he was not ready to serve people or to do his work, the very little and trivial thing made him to feel very upset. Many times we experience the same. We create a big fight for nothing, and we feel very sad, and we may get into a conflict with our partners, you know, the wife or the husband, for years, just for very trivial thing that could be easily handled. But this is again the sorrow or the pain or the suffering that's not according to God's will. So back again to this kind of blessed or holy sorrow that Lord Jesus said, blessed those who mourn. We need to understand the signs that will make us sure that this kind of sorrow in our hearts is a godly one and it's not a bad one. The holy sorrow will develop repentance. The holy sorrow will make our heart rejoice. The end of this sorrow is to bring joy, as Lord Jesus mentioned. So God allows you to go through this experience in order to fix or to change something wrong, and then this will bring sorrow to your heart. And as we said, as of the example of the woman who is giving birth, that she will no longer remember. So this holy sorrow, one of the important criteria for it, that it's not deeply wounding your memories. Actually, maybe sometimes when you remember this kind of sorrow, you will feel happy about it. You will remember that this feeling led you to do something good in your life, to change a bad habit, to repent. So it will no more brings any kind of sad feeling to your heart. On the other way, the worldly sorrow will always, you know, cause this sorrow to keep going. This is why some people may say to you, I don't know why I am sad. I don't know why I am not happy. But there is something, and maybe I can describe, but I still feel it. You need to go and check. You need to go and check what kind of sorrow you have in your heart. Also, this sorrow that's not according to God's will bring even illnesses to your body. You know now how many diseases are categorized as psychosomatic diseases. So they refer it as it happens because your feelings or your emotions are troubled, so it affects even your body performance. So definitely this sorrow that's not according to God's will bring illnesses and disease. Also, the worldly sorrow will bring despair, as in the example of Judas Iscariot, how after he did his sin, you know, the sorrow that developed in his heart was not a godly one. It led him not to repentance. Actually, it led him to commit suicide. Why? Because he felt the feeling of despair. He felt that there is no mercy for his sin. There is no forgiveness. And definitely, this is not the sorrow of God that will lead the person to repent. Also, another important measure for this worldly sorrow, it is hard to forget. Usually, those kind of sorrows that will be in our minds and our memories for years. This is how sometimes, you know, when somebody mentioned the name of a friend, you remember for him how he did or how he treated you badly 20 years ago. Why? Because still, you know, I couldn't get over this bad feeling in my heart since the time he did this to me. You need to realize that this is not a godly sorrow. This is something that devil will be so happy to keep it in your mind and in your heart. So every time you hear the name of this person, you develop this anger in your heart. Maybe even you curse him in your mind. But be careful that this is not the godly sorrow. This is typically what God told us to forget and try to overcome it, because it's not from God. And we have to trust that God will help us to forget the pain and the anguish. How we can get comforted? If Lord Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. For the holy sorrow, the comfort will come as a result, actually, of this sorrow. So this sorrow, by its nature, will bring the joy and the comfort, because this sorrow, as St. Paul mentioned, it will lead you into a godly way. But how about the other kind of sorrow? How can we overcome this kind of sorrow? You go back to the word that Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of St. John, I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. Make sure that you see God in your life. You will not have joy if God is away from you. If God is not manifest in your life, if God is not there in your house, there will be sorrow all the time. Believe me, even on the level of serving in the church, I feel many times when the spirituality of the priest and the deacons and the servants goes down a little bit, a lot of sorrows and pains start to arise in the church. Why? Because God is not manifest among us as before. We started lacking the spirit of love and unity. So the Holy Spirit is saddened, and God is not among us. So we don't see God, and our hearts are not rejoicing, and we just see the pain and anguish. Immediately, if we get back to our Christian love and unity together, Christ will be among us, and all these problems, sorrows, pains will go away. See it even also on the level of our houses. Many people, they complain that the house is always sad. And maybe some people and some kids, they said, we hate going back to home. We don't want to go home. There is always trouble. There is always arguments. There is always. We tell the family, especially the parents, be careful. Why this spirit is there all the time? Maybe Christ is not there. It is very nice that we see the link and the connection between what Lord Jesus said to the disciples here and what he did and what they experienced exactly. He said to them, actually, about the passage we were just reading, when he said to them, I will see you again, because before that he was talking to them that he will leave them, but they will see him again. And they were amazed what he's talking about, why he's saying I will go, you will not see anymore, then you will see me again. They couldn't understand that he's speaking here about his death and then his resurrection and appearance to them. But as he said, I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. See, in John 20, 20, which is after resurrection, we hear what happened when he had said, actually from verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He said to them, I will see you again. وَأَرَاكُمْ أَيْضًا فَتَفْرَحْ قُلُوبْكُمْ ويرد عليها في يوحنا 20 ففرح التلاميذ إذ رأوا الرب. In order to get back this joy and this rejoice of heart, you need to make sure that the Lord is in the midst. He is there in your house. He is always there. See why God is not in your house. Ask yourself, is he welcome to be in my house? Or I am actually telling him stay away. Maybe he is knocking on your door, wants to come to get in, dine with you and your family, let you experience his presence. But unfortunately, you are busy. You have a lot of other things to do. And then you will wake up, you know, seeing that your house lacking joy. There is always sadness. There is always troubles. There is always feeling of hatred. And you may not know why. But I'm telling you today, it's because Jesus is not in the midst. Jesus is absent, is not there. And the moment you open the door, you let him to be in the midst, you will hear his word, peace be to you. And you will be glad since you will see the Lord. So we want to experience this kind of joy of heart, even if we went through the mourning that Lord Jesus mentioned. In that time, we'll know that this mourning and this sadness is in a godly manner. And by this kind of feeling, by this kind of mourning about our sins, and feeling that we want to change and want Christ to be back in our life, he will comfort our hearts and will give us back the joy and rejoice of heart. Glory be to his name forever. Amen.